You're gonna buy pretty sparingly when you're there, frankly. Particularly clothing. Clothing prices are quite high in comparison to what we have here in this country.
But they're made well.
Yeah, very well made. The British woolens are excellent. And one of the things that we buy because Joan's are sewing is that we carry an extra suitcase just to bring back fabric. So that's that's why we spent almost $1,000, because a lot of that was fabric, and we intended to. We went over there looking for it. But value-added tax, you keep track of your records, and then when you're ready to leave the country, you file a value-added tax form.
At the airport?
At the airport. That's generally where you do it, when you're exiting the country. Then they process it, take a fee, and then you get what's left.
So, there, or they
mail it to you? Yeah, they mailed it to us, yes. Now, some shopkeepers will deduct the value-added tax kind of under the table. I don't.
You're going to have something mailed.
Okay, then. I'm not sure whether shipping qualifies for value-added tax refund. I think you have to take it out with you. Shipping is a little different ballgame. It's going to go through customs when it hits this country, and if it's of any size, you're going to about double your cost in whatever you're buying. So if you can at all carry it out with you, do. Okay, that's customs. Let's see, where are we here? Moving on along. Airline tickets, make copies of these. Did you want a copy of the airline tickets too?
We're going to have them all at the start.
Okay, so you're going to make your own.
We probably make copies ourselves.
Yeah. Again, if you lose an airline ticket, if you've got a copy of it, it's still going to cost you a few bucks to replace it, but you're going to get it a lot faster than if they're going to have to go through all the rigmarole of identifying who you are and all the flights and the whole thing. Copies of these are very important. I think we're about done here. Ah. Traveler's checks. I copy my traveler's checks. That's what this whole list is. There's about $1,000 worth of traveler's checks. I tend to carry a lot of traveler's checks. I figure if I lose everything but my passport, I can buy my way out of almost anything. Now, in Israel and Egypt, that was a possibility. Where you're going, where you're going to be with friends, with people, okay, you're monetary situation is going to be totally different, because I think all but a few days of your meals are covered. So basically you're going to have touristy buying things. Another thing that you probably will end up buying are books. I've never seen people go over there that are studying that don't buy books. And you got to remember, books are heavy. So you've got to be careful what you buy, how much you buy, and where you're going to put it to bring it home. We suggest that when you pack, that you do not pack your suitcase more than 2/3 full when you're leaving here. We also suggest that you don't take and check 2 pieces of luggage. We'll get into that a little later. What we're basically saying is pack pretty light. As far as credit cards, we have found that we get a better exchange rate, whatever the local currency is, if you use a credit card. When I come get my bill the next month and I look it up, I always get at least a 10% better exchange rate than if I had gone to American Express or Thomas A. Cook or one of the local banks, wherever I am. So if you can use a credit card, if you have one, and a place will accept it, that's the other thing. Usually Visa and MasterCard, pretty much anywhere. Discover Card, you'd have maybe trouble passing that. American Express, is becoming less accepted. I'm kind of surprised at that. But Visa and MasterCard, you can use those at most places. I would suggest you take American Green cash, 10s, 20s, maybe some 5s, particularly like in Brussels. If all you're going to be there for, you may need a meal, some drinks, a few snacks. Don't exchange more money than you're going to use up, so to speak. Okay, like Michael wants to bring some coins and stuff home. You'll collect plenty of those. So have some small bills. Now, you're going to get a lousy exchange rate, but it doesn't matter because you're not spending much anyway. So we suggest you take some cash in green. I'd suggest you take some traveler's checks. And then if you have a credit card, that too. How much is going to depend upon you and how much you got? That's the other thing. We, out of this $1,000, I think we brought back about 800 of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just didn't have to use it. But that was our insurance. And so we just cashed them in and gave them back to the bank. So you are probably going to spend more than you think you will over there. You're going to find things. So I would suggest if you're budgeting, I'd say try to budget a little heavier. Because there's going to be certain things that you won't even know about that you'll see there. Or the side trip to Edinburgh, or something of this, that, and the other that you have free time with that may cost money that you may not even have thought about. Okay. Any questions at this point? Yes, again, Ruth?
Have we talked about medical insurance?
No, we haven't. And I'm not sure the trip, that don't think covers anything like that.
Nothing's been mentioned. Okay. Sure, I wanted to mention if
there was Joan, you want to give them your experience?
In Brisbane?
Well, we, I slipped off of getting off of a boat because the water was high and there was moss on this ladder I was climbing, and I slipped and I gashed my leg. And about 3 or 4 days later, I noticed it was getting infected. And we went to...
We were in Australia.
We were in Australia, and we were driving around. We finally found out where there was a hospital. And they have socialized medicine there. And so we got in line, and we waited for the doctor. And we waited, and we waited. And, of course, you go by turn. And we finally got into the doctor, what was it, a couple hours later? And then we waited in another line to get in to see him. And then we saw him, and he was the nicest doctor, and he gave me a tetanus shot, and everything was fine until we tried to pay them for it. And they'd have no way of taking your money. They just don't. They don't, wouldn't know what to charge. They wouldn't know where to put it. They didn't know how to bill you. There was no way. And we were really kind of adamant because we're not. We don't pay their taxes, and we wanted to pay them, especially for the shot, you know. But we couldn't. And they also gave me some penicillin, prescription, and I couldn't pay them for that either. So I don't know what kind of.
It's similar.
Is it similar over there?
Yeah, you're going to be surprised at what socialized medicine does over there for travelers. That you're not a citizen, but in most cases for things. Now, if you had major surgery, that might be a different thing. But for these types of incidentals, we found that they pretty well cover you. Now, hopefully, you won't find out. But now there, it's there. And you're covered, strangely as it may seem. I couldn't believe it. We went to the pharmacy and said, well, how much is it? We tried to pay them. I said, well, we wouldn't want to do it. It's your money.
But it was so interesting watching their faces, like, pay? You know, this the shock. Stunned look. I don't know if they've ever heard that before or not, but they wouldn't let us.
Okay, enough of that part. Speaking of books... This is my travel Bible. This is an entire Old Testament and New Testament. And the print's not all that small. One of the things that we suggest you do is that you not take your best of anything with you on the trip.
Clothes, everything.
Clothes, Bible. If you've got a nice pen and pencil set, leave it at home. Pick up a little Bic. Take a lousy pen. Take your lousiest wristwatch.
I am a believer. It took me a while. The first couple of trips we've been on, I think it's a woman's idea that you want to really look nice all the time, and you get this kind of romantic idea of what traveling is supposed to be like. And don't do it because, well, I have this story to tell about our girls. Carl, we took Laura and Renee to Europe when Laura graduated from college. And Carl, 2 weeks before...
It was 2 weeks before we were going to leave.
We were going to leave. He made them pack everything they wanted to take. Absolutely everything. And made them pick it up, go outside, and walk around our house 2 times with it. Now, we were doing a lot of moving around. I mean, we weren't going and sitting in one place like you're doing, but so they really chopped. I mean, they ended up taking less than half of what they originally thought. But then what happened was they got over there, they used these things for
2 weeks,
and they came home and they hated them. They literally couldn't stand them anymore, and they just literally, I mean, to the Goodwill, they couldn't even stand to look at them. So you really don't want to do this to your best clothes. I have become a believer because you really do get really tired of the same, you know, wearing the same thing all the time, and it's kind of necessary when you travel.
Okay, so don't take good anything with you.
Well, I mean, one Sunday, you know, something that you go to church in.
Yeah. And what Margie was saying, you know, it rains 27 out of 30 days there. It does. And we were walking around London one day, and I think we counted 6 different showers in between sunshine, all in the same day. It's just a lot of rain. And that 70 degrees is, that's a hot day in England, anywhere. It's going to be cool. Their mean temperature is about 55. But the humidity is like 85%. And it is cool. And we were in Ireland in the spring. And they don't believe in a lot of heat. In fact, they don't believe in hardly any heat in the homes even. And we were staying in a bed and breakfast with a family, and it was about 9 o'clock.
She turned it off.
She turned off the heat.
She put it on just for us. She was being nice to the Americans. But 9 o'clock was the extent.
That was it.
how long she'd run it. So, and then she opened up all the windows in the house after she turned the heater. We were under,
but the blankets were so heavy, you literally had to do a push-up, turn over, and whomp! It was the most interesting people we've ever met. We loved them. But they were a scream. So our suggestion here is try to dress in layers. Don't put big, heavy things on. An undershirt, a turtleneck, another shirt or a sweater, then maybe a jacket or a coat over that, you know, in layers, because the sun does break out, you're gonna pick up 20 degrees like that, and you're gonna be taking off the raincoat, and you're gonna be taking off the sweater, and then 2 hours later it's gonna start to rain again, and you're gonna put the sweater back on, you're gonna put the coat back on, and you're gonna be doing this all the time. And so you have to be your own thermostat of putting things on and taking them off. And when you're going to go out on the marshes and the moors, and it's going to be very foggy out in those places up until 1 o'clock in the afternoon most times. You're just going to... It's not like the... What was the Knobstone Trail? Is that what you guys went on? Who was on that hiking trip? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Knobstone Trail. You know, it's not going to be that rugged in some of these places, but you're going to have... You're going to have some pretty marshy stuff to walk across. It's basically peat moss. And that leads me into...
This ought to be fun.
This is fun. That leads us...
Tramping through that sounds like grand fun.
Whoops. Sorry, Tom. Boom. You want to tell them about those?
Carl picked up my shoes. I'm not
exactly sure why. These are the shoes I love. They're lightweight, and when you're just for normal walking, they're easy spirits, and I really like them. They're light. These things. When we went to Israel and Egypt, Carl and my son-in-law talked me into. These shoes.
Notice how she put that. Talked her into. He browbeat her.
Yeah, really. Well, he did, and then Tony says you ought to, and I thought, well, my son-in-law said. But these, when we were out in the desert, were really, really useful. And so when you're really, they're heavy. If you do buy something like this, and they're, I mean, when you're really tromping around, I think you'll be very glad you have something like this. I don't think they're very attractive, but they're also heavy, so don't buy these the day before you leave. You really need to walk in these, otherwise you're going to get leg cramps. I mean, if you do a lot of walking in something that's heavier, it's like putting a weight around the bottom of your ankle, and then you're going to wear yourself out. So get used to them first. I didn't do that. I didn't wear them very often. These shoes are just new. I just bought these, and they're very lightweight, and they're very nice, and they're at least a little more attractive looking, and they're sensible. And these are just regular tennis shoes, walking tennis shoes, and those are nice. But I don't know. Did you want me to say anything else?
I don't have any questions about it.
I wouldn't think so. Would you think so?
First, these are cleated.
Yeah, we were doing a lot more different kind of walking than you're going to be doing.
You're not going to be doing a lot of climbing. Yeah. But you are going to be doing...
it's steep.
Pardon?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think probably moist and boggy is probably our main concern.
Yeah. Right. This would keep your feet a lot drier.
Here's the guy's, one of the guy's versions. This I bought specifically because of this little sign up here, Gore-Tex. This has a Gore-Tex lining in it. It's like a boot inside of a boot. And it's totally waterproof up to here.
Yeah.
When you go over this, it becomes a bucket. It's waterproof inside. Yeah, so I did that once. That took about 2 days for that thing to dry out. This is a semi-cleated, but it's a heavy shoe. And you get, I wore this for an entire month in Israel and Egypt. I had one set of shoes for an entire month, and we were walking miles and miles every day. And with a good heavyweight pair of shoes, you can do that. And the reason we go into this, and this is a lightweight, this is a Rockport again. What we suggest is that you get a good pair of shoes and break them in well. It's important. You really should have done this a month ago, but we didn't get a chance to talk to you. It's very important because if your feet are tired and if your feet are wet, you are going to be a grump.
No, I've given them my pep talk.
Oh, okay, okay.
No grumps.
We'll call this the foot adventure. But it's next to your passport, your shoes are the next most important thing. Yes, Ruth?
I'm gonna bring one pair of shoes for church, and then probably just these, just to be able to wear around.
So there,
that's my point.
Yes, because if you get one wet, the thing about that climate, and even we found in drier climates, those shoes are going to take maybe 2 days to dry out. So you've got to have a backup pair of shoes. So, yeah, normally I take two pair. Tom?
Yeah, if you find one, you can dry shoes out in the microwave. You don't have too much metal.
Oh, that's wonderful. I've never heard that. Medium or well done, you know?
Low power, short power.
Oh, yeah, that'll really get hot. Something else in the overkill department. Just before we leave for the airport, we take a couple of Polaroid pictures of our luggage. We may want a memento of our luggage if we never see it again. In international travel, they used to call, you have two classes of baggage, carry-on and lost. They've considerably changed that. But, let's see, was it Australia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were without your main bag for...
A week.
A whole week.
If you have a chance, find out what the code is where your bags are supposed to be sent.
Like Brussels and Glasgow.
Right. Yeah,
Michael,
find
you can probably find that out.
For that is so that
three-letter... Airport identification number, IND is Indianapolis.
What they did with my one bag is write the wrong code down. Instead of sending it to Los Angeles, they sent it to Las Vegas. And that's why. So if you can, so since then, we are very careful as we watch what they write on those tags as they send them off down the conveyor.
Yeah, most of them are machine generated.
Just to make sure that they're writing the...
Yeah, that it's going to the right airports.
City.
Pardon?
Did you mention what is the best shoe to travel on the airlines?
Well,
For me, it's my most comfortable shoe normal. You know, like if something lightweight for me.
Yeah.
Something like a plane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's your trade-off. This is going to take up a lot more room than this.
That is true.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Pack your big shoe and go on and wear it back. You know, you need more room, put your bigger shoes on.
Speaking of bulky things, you're going to have to probably take a coat with you. Wear it. I mean, it's going to be warm when you leave here, and it's going to seem silly to have a coat on you, but do wear it because that's just one. They allow that on the plane. Some planes get very cold. So it's a good idea to have it on the plane. Plus, it's just a whole lot. Coats take up a lot of room in your luggage, so it's probably a good idea. That's something I always carry.
Yeah, that's an allowable carry-on. Doesn't count. Coat over your arm.
Or wrapped around your waist or however you want to.
Yeah,
your
biggest,
you
yeah.
Carry it.
We usually had lighter jackets. This is a parka type jacket. It has a hood. And it's lightweight and very breathable. And this is made of Gore-Tex. These things are absolutely waterproof. The seams are sealed. And it breathes. The only problem is they're disgustingly expensive. Yeah, these jackets, even at Eddie Bauer outlets, are probably close to $200 just for this. Joan has one and I have one. We use these on a...
We didn't pay that much, though, did we?
We paid probably $170, $180 for them. And we have the pants, too, for them. They're Gore-Tex.
I don't.
That's right. Had to have the set.
I didn't buy them.
They didn't look right. Now, we spent 3 weeks in Scandinavia, and with a heavy sweater and this, we were able to go any place we wanted, and we were dry.
Right.
It worked out very well. There's a nylon version of these types that also is pretty good. It'll stay waterproof for maybe an hour or so, and then where the seams are, it'll start leaking through. But it's usually pretty good. Another alternative, this little bag contains two raincoats. His and hers.
That's where that went.
Yeah, that's where that went to. This is a full-size, full-length, cotton-treated raincoat. Hers is nylon, and this one is totally waterproof. And this one's a fairly nice-looking one, too. You can pack all that in one bag.
Really old, girls.
I know, double-breasted. My goodness, out of style. Oh, it's a little short, isn't it?
Yeah,
make them longer. Okay, well, you can use mine there. So, if you want to go to something like this, I don't suggest the plastic that Roy mentioned. Plastic does not breathe. And you, if you're moving around, you are going to perspire so much that you're going to be wetter inside than you would be outside if you didn't have a plastic one on. Plastic's good for emergencies or if you're caught in just a tremendous downpour that doesn't last more than 10 minutes. But if you have that thing on for more than 30 minutes, you are going to be you're going to be inside a sauna. So we prefer the nylon, which is tight, but it still breathes a little, or the cotton treated. I'm going to throw these over there. Trying to keep from destroying this. Oh! You're going to Brussels. What time are you going to land?
What is it?
6 in the morning? 8 o'clock? 9 o'clock?
It's about 8.
8 in the morning, okay. It will be daylight, I guess. Yeah, probably by then. Okay, while you're landing, see if you can spot this. It's a little bigger. This is the Atomium. It's in a park in Brussels, and in 1958, the Brussels World's Fair, this was built for it. It was the centerpiece for the Brussels World's Fair, like for the 1880 World's Fair in Paris, the Eiffel Tower. Now, this is the Atomium, and I had lunch up on that top thing back in 1958, the only other time I'd been to Brussels. So I found this last week cleaning out the basement, and I thought, they're going to Brussels. I'll tell them about this. Okay. All right. A well-packed bag is a bag of bags. Look at Heather's. Yeah. Heather's really going to give me the bananas on this one. Okay.
Did Heather, you guys pack this way last time?
Oh, we have tons of
bags.
What is man's and woman's best friend on a trip?
Ziploc bags.
Ziploc bags.
You should buy stock in the company.
Literally, if you pack your clothing in Ziploc bags, and you can mash them down and zip them, they'll look like they've been vacuum packed. The bulk, you can take a lot of bulk, particularly guys, things which are cotton and bulky. You can really shove them down, and with the now you get the freezer bag type of Ziploc. Don't get the regular food bag. But the freezer, it's thicker plastic, and the Ziploc is better. But highly recommend you take empty ones with you, because you can use them as dirty clothes bags, so that you can separate your smelly from your non-smelly, you know. So the other thing is, I was talking to Michael, I'm not sure what your dorm room living conditions are going to be. In other words, are you going to have any hanging room? Are you going to have any shelf room? Are you going to have any drawer room?
Probably hanging room.
Pardon?
Probably
hanging room, but probably little, if any, drawer room. Okay. The reason I go into this is that you're going to end up living out of your suitcase for 2 weeks. Now, bags are even more important when you have to get in and out of a suitcase. Every day, several times a day. You know, pull your suitcase out, open it up. All right. If you haven't separated these things, you are going to continually be thrashing through all of your clothes. Where did this go? Where did that go? Goodness, where is it? You know? And you just go nuts looking through things. Keep it in separate bags. If it's dirty, fold it up, put it in a bag. If you want, may want to tag it even. Danger material. But keep it in a bag. That way, you open it up, look through, you can see what's in the bag, take it out, seal it up again, wear it. When you're done, fold it back up, stick it in the bag. That way you don't have stuff playing around. You got it semi-organized that way. I suggest you do this with everything, not only clothes, but everything. Okay, any questions or comments about the bags? Ta-da!
Very famous.
The famous bags. Okay, there are a couple of other bags that you may be interested in. This is a film shield. This is... it's a lead-lined bag. You can get these at Cord Camera, some of the camera stores around. And you put your film in it, your exposed and or unexposed film in here. And when you go through the X-ray machines, the X-ray machine will not penetrate the lead layer. And so... how many are planning to take cameras, 35mm cameras? About everybody. Okay, how many are planning to take camcorders? One, two, three, four. Okay, you got quite a few of them here. Okay. Camcorders, no problem going through an X-ray machine. Camcorders, not a problem. If, remember Roy said... If you set off the alarm and you do this and they go over with the wand, wand is a problem. That's magnetic. Electromagnetic wand will erase camcorder tapes. So be very careful. It's okay to go through the X-ray machine. It is not okay. Have them visually inspect. Usually you'll have your tapes packed in a carry-on anyway, and it'll go on through and no problem. But if you got it in your pocket, it could be a problem. Okay.
They say the same about computers, too.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
The
X-ray machine won't hurt.
Have you looked into that? Is it absolutely secure to send your computer through an X-ray machine?
Well, I can have my computer go through. You never want to take a computer or... Discs or videotape through the walkthrough. These are the wand. Okay, I've had this fairly new computer through a large X-ray machine without problems. Now, some of your older ones are a little more susceptible. Nonetheless, I have complete backup of my operating system and essential software with me. You can only reason that the hard drive might crash.
And
now
I can run off
floppy
if I have to.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going back to clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people have done it before. I've never done it, but go to Salvation Army or something?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you see clothes,
right,
leaving in Europe.
We're in Europe, come back, get back to Salvation Army. Yeah. Yes, excellent idea. You might even stumble across the Gore-Tex jacket in there.
Don't leave that behind.
About 35mm film.
Right.
Have you ever run into trouble having it in there? I know every time I go through, they want to x-ray it. You want to x-ray my camera.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it doesn't hurt as long as it's not under 1,000. I say, you know, I'm free, not doing anyway. Right. So far, I've been lucky they never x-rayed any of my film.
Yeah, if you take your film out of the canister and put it in a plastic bag, and you have that, and you, when you go through the walkthrough, when you take your stuff out of your pockets, put that in too. I've gotten away with that before.
What about the camera?
Camera's not, well, I never carry a camera or film in the camera. No. Well, if it's 100 film speed, I've had that. Okay, well, here's the problem you run into. X-ray is an energy, like the sun. And when it's run through the X-ray machine, it gets a little dose. Now, the first dose, probably not going to be a problem. Or the second, or the third. But by the time you get to that fourth dose or fifth dose, you may be finding some fogging that might occur on the film. So it's not the original initial doses, particularly 100 speed film, or even 2. Once you get above 200 or 400, and they say 1,000, but I don't think you even ought to travel with 1,000 speed film. It's just not worth it. You're going to be shooting mostly out of doors.
200 is normal speed?
Well, it depends. I shoot mostly 100. That's my preference. I've been shooting it for years. 200's a good one if you're going to shoot some flash, some outdoors. That's good. 400, I can do that. Yes, Tom?
Just a recommendation. Bring at least a little bit of 400s with you if you plan on going to any museums. I don't know if we will or not. Mm-hmm. Few museums will not let you take flash pictures, but we'll let you take regular pictures.
Right.
And 400 speed film is really useful.
Yeah. Somewhere in here, I've even got a small portable tripod that's only this big. That's handy for things like
Carl
that.
Carl doesn't take much clothes on trips. He takes about 2 pairs of pants and 2 shirts, and the rest of it's camera equipment.
Okay. Carry-on. This kind of pushes the limits of carry-on anymore. Michael, you may want to check with Sabina as to exact dimensions of carry-on, because U.S. Air and Delta are getting very sticky on the sizes of carry-on. I don't know if you'll have the same problem with Sabina or not. But this thing has its own wheels, an expandable handle. It's great for carrying around airports. It, frankly, will not fit under a seat. I don't think you could get this under a seat. You can get it in an overhead bin, and I have another one that's even bigger than this that I know won't fit. But this is one possibility of a type of carry-on. This is a semi-hard case. It has a rigid frame all the way around, and it expands. And you can carry a set of wheels like this that opens up to carry your cases with. We were in Australia. We used these most of the time. We were in a car. I rented a car, and that worked out fairly well.
We used the ugly bag there, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to that.
You want to move your glass?
Here's one that you don't want to have to handle too much.
This is a full-size hard case, Samsonite 29-inch luggage horse.
And I like it.
She has a green one, I have a black one. Has a lifting handle. And you can wheel this sucker just about anywhere. We got right at 60 pounds in each one of these coming back from Israel. And the cab driver and I, it took both of us to put it in the cab. It
had my fabric in it.
Important stuff, guys. There's three locks. Okay. Show and tell. Collapsible umbrellas.
Go.
This one is a little larger. This is about the smallest, I think. Yeah, that's an Eddie Bauer. They make pretty good stuff. I like it. And there's an Eddie Bauer outlet down at the Edinburgh Mall near Columbus, Indiana. And we make, since we go to Cincinnati, we go down through there a lot of times. And you don't have to get an Eddie Bauer. But I found if you're going to buy an umbrella, don't buy a cheap one. Because the first wind, that thing is going to look like a satellite. It's going to go poop, and you're gone. So they're very handy. And in England, it's almost a necessity. The British, and I'm sure the Scots, they carry the big long ones, you know. Yeah, but travel, yes, ma'am. Yeah. Okay, on with it. Someone mentioned fanny packs. Their fanny packs come in many different sizes and varieties. This is a large one. We don't recommend you wear them in the back. We recommend that you wear them in the front. And as I think this little thing on tips, you want to be able to somehow attach the strap to your belt or top of your skirt in some kind of a clip, because these are the easiest things in the world for someone to lift. They'll come up with a little surgical knife or sharp knife, cut it, and just slide it off of you. If you're in a lot of heavy traffic, so to speak, you can put this on and put your jacket on over it. You want to be super safe. I suggest you carry your cameras with the strap under your jacket, not on the outside. There are smaller fanny packs of this type. We suggest you not put any valuables in fanny packs. You might want to put your camera in there or film, but do not put your passport or your airline tickets or your money in a fanny pack. And then there's a hybrid fanny pack. A fanny pack here. You open the top and it becomes a backpack. So if you start off with a fanny pack, you buy something, you've got all this to fill up. Okay. This is a medium weight backpack. Roy mentioned, or did you mention, that you're going to be on field trips? You're going to need something for day trips, something for your books, cameras, things of that sort. Since you're going to be traveling in vans, you are going to have some place to leave it if you don't want to carry the whole thing. But some type of smaller case can be very handy. What's we got here? Ah, other bags. These are padded bags. They're Kmart, Target, Walmart specials. Basically, what these are audio cassette bags, but they're padded. These are nice things to carry small items, hair dryers, even cameras, these types of things in a small padded bag. Okay, here's what I was looking for. The heavy-duty wraparound strap. I recommend that for every piece of checked luggage, that you have something no smaller than this tightly around it, whether it's a hard shell, a soft shell, or just a nylon bag, that you have something, even if it's as small as a 1-inch nylon strap, that you have that strap around it. Because if this thing falls and the locks fail, that thing is going to scatter the entire contents all over where it lands. And I have seen these things falling off of the conveyor belts before of airlines. With the strap around there, it may dent it. It may mash in a corner, but it's going to keep the contents intact. So these are Target Kmart purchase at the Royal Traveler Samsonite stand. It's a pegboard, usually in the luggage section. They have some real fancy bright ones, too.
Talk about that thing.
Yeah. Can you see this little orange thing? Yeah. Tell them about it.
It's a pom-pom, and it works great if you have a team that has all the same color.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. It works well.
Yeah. Are you volunteering to make pom-poms for all of them?
Okay.
This doesn't come off either. We have had the ones that are on our luggage all around everywhere.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah. Off. Yeah. We just put them on with a piece of light wire, and leave them there. We just and they are very durable. Here's another kind of bag. It's a nice big deep bag. It's a good shopping bag. Again, you're going to be in Scotland. It's going to be rainy. If you buy things that you have paper bags that you get it, bring it home in. If you get caught in a rainstorm, that bag is going to get soft. So we recommend some kind of a carrying bag. If you get plastic bag, if they give it to you in plastic bags, you're a lot better off. But a shopping bag like this, particularly if you're going to buy books and you're going to be traveling around a lot. Okay. Now we get to the good part. Ta-da! The hairdryer. Okay. This is a 240 700 watt unit that we bought in, I think, England.
Mm-hmm.
It has a standard U.S. plug on it, and we have the 2-pin European. Now, that will not work in England. He's got one right there.
Right.
Radio Shack, I believe.
I got this one, Radio Shack.
Yeah. Here's the...
Do you trust him with this?
Here's the whole set that you can get, and this is good worldwide.
So you bought that whole thing at Radio Shack?
This.
$7.
Yeah.
But the hair dryer, too?
No. Hair dryer we bought in England. Now, you can buy... you have to look.
Can they plug their own hair dryer?
No,
but
no.
It has to be 220.
It has to be 220. Right. A 110 hair dryer will work real good for about 30 seconds.
Super dry.
And that's it.
Have you come across any converters that will handle that kind of wattage?
They are, but they're huge and they're heavy. Mm-hmm. Tom?
You can buy converters that have a switch on them.
Mm-hmm.
The switch in one position is a diode, mm-hmm. and it's a very simple component for devices that only generate heat.
Mm-hmm.
Those, the diode will work fine. The trouble is, it also puts a DC into it, which, if the motor is not a brushless motor, it will ruin the appliance.
Yeah.
Then you put the switch in the other position, and it's a straight 220 to 110 transformer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think spent... like $13, $14 for this.
This is what I was going to say. What I usually do before, what we've kind of decided to do is to get this over there.
Yeah, just buy one over there.
This and possibly even a curling iron if you use one. But there was one problem when we were in my curling iron that was like this, that I had purchased out of the country before, kind of didn't work. And when we were in Egypt and but they didn't know what a curling iron was.
Didn't know what this was.
So I couldn't buy one, so I didn't have curly hair for the entire trip. So you do take a little bit of a chance to do it that way. But everywhere, you know, carries hair dryers.
The other thing is that in the most of the restrooms, they have a special wall plug by the sink that is it called a ground fault?
Yeah.
It's basically a low voltage circuit. And Joan plugged into it, and she wasn't getting any heat out of it. She thought the thing was broken. Well, it took us a couple of days, and she plugged it in to the one by the bed, and it worked great. And then we realized that these special plugs in bathrooms are low voltage, and they won't heat these things up. So you have to be careful. It'll have a special kind of plug on it. But it's almost as simple to go to whatever store and buy them there. Now, like I say, you can buy them here. Service merchandise, I think, carries some that are both 110 and 220. But you may want to try that ahead of time. That's up to you. It may you're not sure what day you're getting in on. Thursday, Friday?
There. Friday.
Friday. Okay. So you'd have maybe some shopping, and Andrew could probably help you on something like that. So,
15 ladies. Who do you want? We don't carry that many.
You know, I couldn't find bigger on the map, Michael. I don't know if that's a good sign or not.
What about radios?
Radios?
Turn a battery
radio? I don't know. I've never taken one. Oh, yeah, it'll work. Sure, it'll work. Yeah, you'll pick up whatever stations they do that they have out there, but I don't know. We never sat still long enough to plug one in. The other thing that you may want to consider, since you're going to be field tripping, is a water supply. Now, this is the jumbo kind, smaller bottle, but I suggest you carry some kind of water supply with you. It's not going to be like the desert where you... You know, we had two or three of these we were carrying around every day. But you're not going to have McDonald's and Shell station at every exit. You know, it's like that. You're
I've got a fanny pack that has two water bottles folded. And I found it works great to have one with a water bottle in it, and the other one works great for your extra camera lens.
See when you're done, put it all back. Okay.
Carl!
No, this is yours.
What?
You're talking about it.
Well, there's really... This is a bag that I like to carry. This is absolutely nothing to do with your trip because it's just interest.
I don't think you could get one in time.
Right. It carries everything. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. You can get just about your entire it holds curling irons, it holds hair dryers, it holds combs and brushes and toothpaste, and it's just the most incredible thing. So if you're ever planning on another trip someday, then you might think about investing in this, because this is really neat. It's called a Freedom Bag. Actually, they sell them on the airplane.
I have there.
As if you didn't have enough to study, you really ought to be looking at some other books about Scotland. These are down at the Marin County Public Library. you're going to be studying Reformation history and all that, but you're going to be living in present-day Scotland. And these books have great pictures of different parts of Scotland. And you've got a little time. Sure you do. But I think this is one of the things that I spend a great deal of time on, is learning the country, the territory, the roads, the cities, some of the general history about them, and then what's happened in modern time, because that's what you're going to see. And so it's a modern update. If you can find a Fodor travel book, just go through it, thumb through it. It's very light reading. But it gives you a perspective as to what you're really going to be involved with. Now, this gray bag is one of the ones that we have used probably the most on more trips. I think we have 12 of these.
We call him the bag man. And
do you understand why?
He collects these things. Yes. I mean, these are...
Yeah.
I had one, the Freedom Bag. The rest, he loves bags.
The amazing part about this is that for a second bag, see, this is heavy nylon. You can roll this thing up and put it in the bottom of a suitcase for a second bag. And it's sturdy enough to be checked. So if you're thinking of a second bag, some type of bag that can be collapsed and a strap around it can be a nice alternative. We also have used these for carry-on bags. We just don't fill the side pockets. We fill the whole center section. It's fairly roomy. I can get a camcorder, camera, 50 rolls of film, 3 batteries, 2 changes of clothes,
pajamas,
toilet kit, right in there.
Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm not sure this specific type's made anymore.
We got it at Service Merchandise.
Service Merchandise or Target or something. Yeah. But, you know, a nice soft bag like that that's got one big pocket that you fill with smaller things. Now. Okay. One wrinkle on that is this thing. This is a parachute bag. If you don't happen to have a spare parachute around. Now, these are available through the Army-Navy Surplus Store on 71st and Michigan Road. They make these there. They're very heavy canvas. And what we have done is taken this bag, packed this one, and put it inside this one. And then any bulky things we had, we would pack in here and then strap it. We got to our destination, we do our buying and all that, we take this one out, we pack both bags and bring them home. So we nest the one bag inside the other. And it gives the inside bag protection on the way over. So this is another alternative. You can do somewhat similar things with large duffel bags too. So the idea of nesting a larger, heavier canvas bag over another bag and then use that to come back in. Again, strapping them each time. You see, these things fold up pretty tight. So, I don't want to put that in there. Okay, we're almost done. This is a nice day bag. Carry cameras, books, that, pens, pencils, pads, things of that sort. And this one has even a better advantage in that it expands to that wide. There we go. Since you only have 2 bathrooms per floor, you ladies may want to consider a makeup mirror with an enlarging mirror on the other side. And if you want to lug around 5 C cells, you know, these things will light up. Isn't this fun? Okay. Are the sessions going to be tape recorded?
Audio tape.
Audio tape. Okay. If you're a lousy note taker or you want to capture the moment, battery-operated tape recorders in either full-size or the micro-cassette recorders that are voice-activated. These are very handy. We use these a great deal of the time, like at the end of the day. We don't journal very well, but we sit around and talk for 10, 15 minutes and kind of summarize. And when we had our daughters with us, we got together and just had some of the most hilarious times talking on a tape recorder. We just pass it around, and everybody would take a few minutes, and then we still listen to some of those things. Those are fun and simple ways. Okay. Well, this is a miniature tripod. It's plastic. It's lightweight. It's great for camcorders as well as for cam. You know, it'll sit on a table, or you can hold it up against your chest or put it up against the wall and steady it. Or I've used this on my camcorder as a handle so that I get a better hold of the camcorder and not put this part out. So that's another possibility. I'm not going to try to put that together. Okay, we're getting down to laundry. What are you doing that to? What are you doing there? Okay. This is an entire laundry set. It contains soap powder, Ivory Snow, in an old herb bottle, about 15 feet of nylon cord, some sinks don't have stoppers, medium and large size sink stoppers. And camp style, this may set off a security thing. These are metal, very strong clothespins. Now, the thing you have to remember about doing your own laundry is you are going to be in a damp climate. If you're going to wash something cotton, it may take 2, maybe 3 days to really dry out well. Lighter clothing won't take as long. It's not much of a problem. But be prepared to have it hanging around your room for a while. All right. Talked about neck pillows. This is a velvet type inflatable neck pillow. This what you were looking at, Dee, or looking for? Okay, do you have one like this? Yeah, they come in gray and black, and a few other colors. These are very handy for the plane. You see, they don't take up much room.
You have to blow them up.
You have to blow them up. I'm not going to blow them up. Yeah, that's a problem. Okay, another thing for the plane, some airlines give these to you. They are tube socks. You take your shoes off, leave your socks on, put these on over them, and they have little rubber skid things on them so that you don't have to wear your shoes in the plane. It's
socks.
Yeah, basically is what they are. Of course. These are handy to have. Or just take another pair of heavy socks, large socks, and put over yours. See, you're going to be flying at about, you know, 35,000 feet altitude. The outside air temperature is going to probably be somewhere around 10 or 20 below zero. And so it is going to get cool. And when you sit still, your body heat tends to drop too. So your feet and hands will sometimes tend to get cool. So they'll, on international flights, I think everybody gets a pillow and a blanket right off the bat. But if you can kick your shoes off, put these on, you're going to be a little more comfortable. The nightshade, these are, Joan doesn't like them. I don't go without them. They fasten right over your face. These are pretty comfortable. They're soft. And it blocks out 90-95% of the light. See, when you're flying in that direction and flying that high, you're going to hit daylight probably in about 5 hours or so.
Flying toward the sun.
You're flying towards the sun. And so there's going to be some jerk that's going to open one of those shades, and this blast of light comes careening through the passenger compartment, and there's going to other people want to look, you know, the few idiots that are still awake. So if you want to try to sleep some more and you have trouble with light, these are very handy. Now, we get to the two most important bags of the entire trip. And that's these two. This is worn under your arm, under your clothes. And this should contain your passport, your airline tickets, your credit cards, most of your cash, and all of your traveler's check, close to your heart. Never let it leave you your entire trip. Don't go anywhere. If you go to the restroom, take it with you. Don't go anywhere without your passport, your ticket. We used to call these our safety belts. You don't go anywhere without them. Since you're going to be in cooler weather, these are fairly comfortable. I use a second one. This one hooks into a belt loop. Actually, it was all white. I took a felt tip marker and made it darker. It hooks into the belt, and I use this for my pocket change or cash. It hooks into your pants or your skirt, and all it shows is a little strap like that. You don't want to get into your safety belt unless you absolutely have to in public. Could be embarrassing, huh? I usually wear button-down shirts, and I have gotten to the point where I can unbutton one button and be sitting there having a conversation, go in, unzip this, get the right credit card, zip it back up, palm the credit card, and come out with it. Now, that takes a lot of practice, and you don't need to go through all that Mickey Mouse parade. But this is very handy. It's very hard to pickpocket this. It's just again, this is a Target Kmart special. A little zipper. Keep your going cash in here, or if you're about to make a purchase, maybe a credit card. Never let the passport leave the safety belt. Never let the airline tickets leave the safety belt, and never let the safety belt leave you. It's the most important thing. It gets you there. It gets you home.
Do you carry a wallet?
I don't carry a wallet. Because you don't need a driver's license. I take one with me, but you don't need one. Credit cards, traveler's checks, cash, tickets, passport. Those are the most important things. If you lose all your luggage, you got the clothes on your back, you got money, you got your passport, you can continue your trip.
And I usually like to put my passport and that kind of thing in a little Ziploc bag just for extra waterproof while it's in that. That's something I like to do. Just to protect from perspiration, protect from rainwater, whatever. Yeah.
But these are not very expensive, and these are Target purchasable. If you can't find them there, Galleons has them. They'll take more money for it. All right. She said I was a bag man. She was right. Okay. This is a laundry bag. You probably won't need anything like this. It's probably too big for this trip. There's another kind of bag, which is one of my own design. It's a double envelope bag. Now, this is made by simply taking a full, what is this, probably 54, 60-inch material. It's all one piece. Here's the salvage edges. 45, is that close, Mom? Okay. It's about 18 inches, cut straight across
60.
Yeah. Cut straight across, fold it over, well, inside out, one seam down each side. Okay, why go to all this? You can pack clothes in these, pack this side, and then you lift it over. And you end up with a bundle about like this. You can put, I can get, 2 pair of pants, several shirts, maybe some underwear in one of these. Now, if you do have drawers of any kind of, or shelf storage, you can take this out of your suitcase in the pack and simply slide it in the drawer without taking it apart or onto a shelf and work out of it. I have them different colors, so I put certain things in one color and certain things in another color. Again, this is probably overkill. Plastic bags do pretty well, too. And here's another shopping bag.
You see how I'm going like this?
This is a big canvas bag.
Is it still working, Tom? Oops, you lost the clip. Oh, that's why we lost it. Okay. We did that. Okay. Home stretch. I use a rather oversized toilet kit. this is actually a camping style toilet kit, because it has a hook here, and you can hang this, and everything falls out nicely. You can hang it on a tree or doorknob or whatever. Okay. A couple things that you may or may not think of to take. You mentioned camera batteries. Okay. I suggest that you buy 2 brand new camera batteries. This is for your cameras. That just before the trip, you put 1 brand new camera battery in your camera. And you take the second one and you put it in your makeup kit or your toilet kit as a backup. Particularly if you have the kind that has a flash unit on it, because the more flashes you take, the more it drains the battery. And there's no sense in running out of battery juice, because you are probably not going to be able to replace this where you're going. Or you're going to have a very difficult time. You're going to spend an awful lot of money on it. So buy 2 brand new ones, put the one in the camera, take the other one with you. Travel alarm clocks are very handy. You can get these at Target, Kmart, Radio Shack. Another important item is a small flashlight. Now, you're like, why is this such an important item? Well, where are you going to be sleeping? You can be sleeping with, 2, 4, 6 people to a room or something like that? Who knows? It'll vary. Okay. Where's the bathroom? Down the hall somewhere.
In the dark.
You're going to do the mummy routine down the hall, bounding on doors as you go. All right. Little flashlight like this with a finger cupped over like this. Give you enough light so you're not waking up your roommates. You're going to be a good camper. You can make it to the bathroom, and you can make it all the way back without bumping, stumbling, or killing somebody in the process. Handy to have. Very handy to have. I would suggest you put this on the nightstand next to this, and if you're like me, your glass is right next to it. So that if you want to see what time it is, you can put your glasses on, turn the flashlight on, and see. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Still. Okay. Now, this is a guy thing. It's a multiple tool. It's can be a knife, a screwdriver, pliers. Can be you probably have one of these, or he's got a smaller version of that. Yeah, he's got one. These are very handy to have. It's a guy thing. If you have to change the plug on the end of a hair dryer, girls, find somebody that's got one. The Swiss Army knife is a nice touch. Again, a guy thing. Now, what?
We took those to Israel. They work very well for opening tuna
cans. Yeah, they're great for tuna cans. Yes. Let's see if I got mine. Yeah, I carry the mini version with me all the time. And this one even has a pair of scissors on it. I couldn't believe it. This is a little guy right here. It's got scissors. And they're very sharp, and they work well.
And a toothpick.
And a toothpick, yes. And tweezers. Okay. This is my first aid kit. Has Band-Aids, a tube of Neosporin as an antiseptic, Advil, and if you guys have athlete's foot, Tenactin. You know, you can stuff a lot of things in here. Now, if you have prescription medicine, make sure you take enough of your prescription medicine to last you for at least a week after you get back. Because if for some reason you get delayed in returning, you need to have a week's supply of your prescription medicine as backup. So we suggest that you get a refill. And secondly, that you get, if you have the prescription written out, that you take that with you. In case you lose your prescription medicine, you'll be a lot faster and a lot quicker at getting it replaced if you have your own doctor's prescription. If you can have your doctor write a prescription for you, pick it up, put it in your little bundle of things, that's extra insurance. The same is if you wear glasses. If you have your doctor's prescription as to what the grinding requirements are, I carry my glasses prescription with me because they can grind them over there if they have to. If you lose your glasses, and you, like me, you know, I only wear my glasses when I want to see, but other than that, well, particularly read, no, you're going to be in a heap of hurt. So, you know, these are little things, but it's being prepared. If you have an old pair of glasses, I suggest you take those with you in case you lose your front runners. Have we gotten to 10 o'clock yet? Okay. Okay. I think that's enough of a harangue. I wished I could have packed and gone with you. Gee, I had everything out here. Ah, yes. Okay. We mentioned this is something after our Australian trip because what happened was that they lost this bag and it had almost all of Joan's clothes in it. Mm-hmm. She had enough. She had a change of clothes.
One change of clothes.
We stopped in Fiji. We were there for about 3 days. She had her carry-on with her and I had my carry-on and my main bag. She ended up wearing my jeans, my shirts. You know, I at least had them. And so a week later, her bag finally, in Sydney, Australia, it finally caught up with us. So
they delivered it to the hotel to me.
Yes. She kissed it when it came.
He took a picture.
I took a picture of it. So ever since then, we have taken and put a complete change of clothes in a large plastic bag. I'll make up one bag, she'll make up another bag, and we will trade bags. So that in our check-in luggage, I'll have one set of change of clothes in my bag of hers, and she'll have one change of clothes of my bag, mine, and hers. So find somebody to trade with And that gives you a little more measure of insurance that if one of the bags is lost, somebody's going to have at least another change of clothes.
And you put some in your carry-on.
Oh, yes. I always try to put a minimum of a complete change of clothes, two changes of underwear, several pairs of socks, pajamas, toilet kit, camera and camcorder gear, all in carry-on. And with the Ziploc bags, you can really squeeze those clothes down really solid. Cash and Carry Paper Company on East Washington Street. It's about 800 East Washington, Cash and Carry. They have a whole wall of these things. They're not that. The bigger bags are a little more expensive, but you can get them down to, you know, bags this size, very, very tiny things. Tom?
Comment. Typically, airlines will send lost baggage back to your home address if they can't contact you or something like that. Some companies sell tags in several languages that basically what you do is it says that your itinerary is on there. Mm-hmm. So you do your itinerary, so all they have to do then is look and see where you're going next. And so if you're headed for Scotland, you're probably going to head for Scotland and stick it back to the States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Usually, though, if, of course, you won't know, are you checking luggage all the way through to Glasgow?
I expect, yeah.
You're not going to pick them up in Brussels and recheck them? Okay. You won't know whether it's made it or not until you get all the way to Glasgow. So if you do lose a bag, you'll go to baggage claim or lost baggage. And they will tracer it. They're usually pretty good about that. And if you have the proper tags, we that's why we have tags on the handle. These bags even have a tag inside here. We leave stuff inside. We don't lock the bags, but we put the strap on it. We leave emergency information and tag information in the bag so that if we lose everything else and if they get in the bag, they don't have to break into anything. It's not locked. We felt that was probably as good an insurance as we're going to get.
You said your bag's not locked?
Pardon?
You said that the bag's not locked.
Right. But I have that great big wide web strap very tightly around it.
You don't lock it in addition to that?
No. No. If someone wants to get into these are plastic. They just take a screwdriver and it's gone. Yeah. The little locks and that are a mild deterrent. No. And that's the reason we, for Israel, went to the hard luggage, because in the Near East we found of some of the reports that the baggage handlers would simply slice into one of these. They wouldn't even try to open it. They'd just slice into it and dump the contents. I don't think you're going to have that kind of problem where you're going. So you're going to an English-speaking country that uses the same words. They don't mean the same a lot of times. But you at least understand them. The monetary exchange is pound sterling, and it's not all that difficult. You know, you're going, I'd say, to like a one-and-a-half level country. You're not going to a country that doesn't speak any English or a low English-speaking country. You know, you're going to have a lot of familiarity. It's going to be like camping out a little bit. And when they think of things as old, you know, like we met a couple on a train, and they asked us how old our house was. And they said, "Oh, it's pretty old. It's probably 25, 30 years old." And they literally laughed, almost falling on the floor, like, you know, what did I say? And I says, "Okay, what's the joke?" And he says, "Well, our house is like 125, 130 years old, and it's the newest house in the neighborhood." And they have a totally different concept of old. And because of that, many of them don't have central heat. That maybe in the past 20, 30 years, they even have indoor plumbing. And what you're going to be eating is not, you're not going to have the amount of fresh fruits and vegetables you get in this country. The food is tends to be fairly expensive. And as Joan and I were talking about this, we would put Great Britain and that area, as far as culinary delight, somewhere towards the bottom. Their food tends to be rather bland.
Nutritious.
It's nutritious. It's good food, but it just tends to be pretty bland compared to Germany or Italy or France, someplace like that. So you're going to have fairly common stuff to eat. But, hey, for 2 weeks, you can handle anything in 2 weeks. Any other questions or comments? We've drug it. Yes, Tom?
I have a question. Is there going to be any laundry facilities available there?
There's
nothing determined yet.
There is one washer dryer, so it's going to be pretty hard to get at and use because there's one unit for the whole group. So plan not to use it unless you have to. Limited. Okay. Thank you.
We didn't look too closely at it, but you do have that pickpocket material that you might want to just scan over, just to be familiar with that. Tom has volunteered to give any extra tips. If anyone has any extra questions on electrical stuff, he'll help with that, so you can check with him. Michael actually brought with him this evening a split-leaf psalter. We were going to try to sing out of it, but we couldn't get copies made. So if you want to see what that looks like, you can look at his. And then some folks were asking during the break for me to clarify this CT clothing, et cetera. So let me try in about 4 or 5 sentences and see what I can do for you here. Overseas, there tends to be a connotation of Americans often that were kind of obnoxious, independent, especially when you get to the United Kingdom, where we have a reputation of rebelling against them. Anyways, so we want to dress in a manner that clearly says otherwise. So that means dressing in the zone of comfort, but at the top of the level, not at the bottom of the level. So be comfortable, but dress nicely. That means you ladies are just going to have to take what I say for the fellows and kind of make an equivalent for ladies, because that's not my area of expertise. But for fellows, that's going to mean stick to shirts that have some sort of a collar on it. Just it looks nicer.
No jeans.
We'll get to that in a second. T-shirts in America tend to be kind of normal and fine, but overseas, often that's communicates quite a bit more casualness than it does here. So you can bring T-shirts for sleeping in, for going to the washroom at night and such, but try to dress in something with a collar or something nice like that while we're over there. Jeans, it'd be best to avoid that. If that happens to be all you own, I'm not going to tell you to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe, but try to stick with something along these lines, and don't bring jeans unless you really, really have to. Shorts, I might bring one pair just to have in case something happens really, really hot and we go out in the desert or something. I don't know. It was really nice in Israel. But I don't suspect that's going to be necessary with what we're hearing about the climate and all. And I think we really need to keep alert and follow the lead of what the, not the local folks at large, but particularly the Scottish and Irish, the local folks with our group, with CSI, because we don't want to be, as the guests, we don't want to be dressing the lowest standard. As the guests, we want to be observing their standard and dressing to match or to respect that by being a little bit higher. So plan not to wear a lot of shorts. If you want to bring a pair, just in case, and then I'll probably just wear shorts for sleeping, and that's the short of it anyways. No pun intended. And I am going to bring probably one suit for church. I just think that'd be a good thing to do. All right. I hope that pretty well takes care of things. We probably really do need to close things up. But I hope this has been helpful. If you have any other questions as you do actually start to pack, feel free to call Mr. Stoichev.
2 weeks in advance. Walk around your house twice.
And
because you need to be able to carry it at least 100 yards by yourself.
All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of going overseas prepared, thinking things through, and having counsel from men like Mr. Stoichev, who's thought through a whole lot of details that a lot of us never would have even considered. And I just pray that you would help us to keep in mind those things that are important for us to consider. And then we pray that you would protect us from the kinds of problems that lost luggage and things like that, Lord. We want to be prepared in case something like that would happen, but we would right now pray and ask that you would protect us from those kinds of distractions so that this might be a smooth and enjoyable and learning experience. Amen. All right. Thanks.